The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Okay, today we are back with parenting expert and just overall life hack guru, Dr. Becky Kennedy. She is an online phenomenon. She also came out with a huge book last year called Good Inside. I'm really excited to talk to her and check in with her again, especially given her recent collaboration with Jonathan Haidt, who I'm a huge fan of. So we're going to talk about all of your guys' questions about parenting tips, balancing social media, how to stay confident and grounded in your parenting, and also maintain great open relationships with your kids. So let's jump right in with Dr. Becky Kennedy. I was trying to reflect on the last time you and I connected, which like my kids were at such different phases. Yes. And now I find myself at, my daughter is 4 and then my other daughter's 2 and I'm having another baby very soon. So I'm like constantly digging deep into your feed to get all of the relevant tips and tricks and digestible nuggets. But you've also grown so much since you and I connected last and most recently with Jonathan Haidt, which I'm so excited about because that's such a big topic. So I want to talk about all of that. But before we jump in, I mean, how are you? What are the big topics you're talking about?
Oh my goodness. I'm good. I mean, yeah, my kids are now, they just feel all like big kids. My youngest is 7. And so I just feel like I'm in a completely different life stage. And thinking about, you know, some new topics. Still, I love those younger ages so much. I mean, it's still what I, you know, work with parents on when I meet one-on-one to kind of keep it all fresh. But I think, you know, the latest things on my mind are just the importance of boundaries. I think more than ever, boundaries are just the most important thing for us to learn as people, as parents in this digital age for ourselves, for our kids. So I'm kind of obsessed with thinking about boundaries. And just more focus on making sure parents have the skills they need and kids really build the skills they need, not only for their childhood, but really for life.
Boundaries is such a big topic, not only for parenting right now, but I also feel like just for the people who are parenting to have these boundaries instilled yes. with whether it's their in-laws or their own parents or just friends, you know, boundaries is such a big topic. And especially because this will come out around the holidays, boundaries seems to be like the number one thing that people need to be reviewing going into whatever their holiday dynamics are. Do you have any
yes.
guidance there for people who are concerned about their inability to hold boundaries or maintain them?
Yes. So I think what's important to start with is just what is a boundary? Because I actually think a lot of us think about a boundary in a way that I guess you could say it's kind of wrong, although I don't like that word. It's just unhelpful.
Negative.
And
yeah.
and also just, it ends up making us feel frustrated. It kind of sets us up for failure, right? So if we're trying to build something, like build a boundary, I want to work on something, I think we all have to slow down always and say, wait, do I have kind of an accurate definition or sense of what I'm building? Or else I'm going to build in the wrong direction. It would be like building a building before you knew your, you know, your blueprint yeah. actually was accurate. So let's think about the blueprint for a boundary. Boundaries are what we tell people we will do, and they require the other person to do nothing. And I want to say that again and slow it down because this definition of boundaries is probably very different from how we think about boundaries. To set a boundary, right? What a boundary really is it something you tell someone you will do, and its success requires the other person to do nothing. So when we say to an in-law, I really need you not to criticize my parenting when I visit, that is a request. And we make requests all the time. But just to be clear, that is not a boundary. Am I telling my in-law what I would do? No, I'm asking them to do something. Does my success of my boundary require my in-law to do nothing? No, it actually very much requires them to do something. So it doesn't hit either part of the definition. If I want to set that boundary, which, you know, a lot of us have to do, it would look and sound very different. It would sound like, hey, I know we have different thoughts about parenting. And the truth is, that's okay. We don't have to be in agreement. In the past, when we've been together, I do feel like there's criticism coming my way. They're kind of questions, but they're more, you know, criticism with a question mark. And I just want to tell you what's going to be different this holiday season. That stuff feels so bad to me. And honestly, it feels so bad to happen in front of, you know, my son and your grandson, who I know you love, that if that starts happening, I will pick, you know, whatever your son's name is, up from the room. I'll look at you and I'll just say, this is not a conversation I want to have right now. And I will walk to another room. And I'm just telling you that up front, because in the past we've gotten to things about it. And I realize I actually haven't been clear with you about what I'm going to do on my side. And that's something I really want to let you know before we come for, you know, the holidays. Now, what I'm doing there is I am regaining my power. So often when we say someone doesn't respect my boundaries, we really mean I'm making requests someone isn't following. And then I feel more and more frustrated and powerless. Yes, that is an awful feeling. But the answer isn't to make the request harder. The answer is to move from request to true boundary. And the other thing, the next thing that Catherine, I just want to say about setting true boundaries, is people don't often like them. And that's not a reason not to set them. And it's definitely not a sign that we did a boundary wrong, right? A boundary really is a way of saying to someone, I want to be clear about kind of my rules for engagement in this relationship. I won't let myself engage with you in a way that's going to end up feeling awful to me and doesn't feel like a healthy relationship to me. So I'm going to do something new. And instead of just feeling angry after those things happen, I am actually going to not let those things happen as often, not only for my mental health, but actually because I want to preserve a relationship with you. The reason I would walk out with my son if my in-laws were criticizing my parenting is actually because I don't want to get into a screaming fight with my in-laws. And I don't want to scream later at my partner about his parents, right? But boundaries, while they don't feel great in the moment, they actually are about relationship preservation. It's telling someone, this is what I need to feel good about being in a relationship with you.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's this kind of idea that if you're somebody who sets boundaries or communicates boundaries, that you are the difficult one, or you are the one who's going to be changing the dynamic within a tradition or a moment or a holiday season, whatever the event is or the situation is, especially when people are coming into town, out of town, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. Kids are also on high alert for a variety of reasons. How do you kind of avoid that label as being the one as a parent to want to communicate the boundary and want to be able to have that for the success of the event or your family function, but also feeling like you don't want to be labeled as the difficult one.
Yeah. I think the first thing I want to do, and I think this is powerful for so many situations in our lives, is anytime we have a question where essentially the formula for the question is, how do I do X without Y? I mean this, but I'll just be direct. We have to upgrade our question, i.e. it's just not the right question to ask. Because we do this all the time. How do I go out to dinner with my friends without feeling guilty? How do I stick up for what I need in my marriage without making my partner upset? How do I set a boundary with my family without being labeled as difficult? They're impossible questions, every one of them. But a better question is, how can I speak up for my need and tolerate the other person's reaction? That is a really empowering question. How can I go out to dinner with my friends and tolerate my kids being upset? How can I speak up to my partner and tolerate his or her reaction? How can I set boundaries with my family in a way that is as respectful and kind, but still strong as possible, and manage the inevitable response potentially in your family of, oh, you're being difficult? Now, all of a sudden, instead of my parents or my in-laws labeling me as difficult, being a sign of, oh, I failed. I'm trying to do this without that label. Now, when it happens, I actually just have to do the second part of my job, which is just tolerating it and managing it. So I think that framework changes everything. And the second thing I just want to empower people with is, I think there's a bigger question, which is, how much time do I spend in other people's minds managing their labels of me and their feelings about me? Mm-hmm. And can I try to reclaim some of that and come back to my own mind and think about how I talk to myself or what I know about myself? Because then what someone else does or does not label you, which sometimes they do, and sometimes we just worry they do, it just doesn't take up as big of a percentage of your time. And that's really where the freedom is.
I love that reframing, especially at a time that people are already on edge with whether it's tradition, whether it's feeling like, oh, I miss old tradition, I miss certain dynamics that are no longer. There's always, this time of year is always, I think, filled with so many different emotions. And then on top of it, you add little kids that are, you know, running around like crazy. Is there anything that you can offer to parents when it comes to maintaining the boundaries with their children, whether they're 2 years old, 4 years old, 15 years old? It's everyone's emotionally charged around the holidays.
100%. So a couple things going to the holidays, I would say. Number one, just remember, this is like my new mantra for myself, compassion isn't dangerous. I always tell myself that because it's so easy to be so harsh on ourselves. Oh, I changed the rules. I gave my kids too many iPads. My kid's a disaster. Like when we're visiting my great aunt and I kind of wanted to impress her with my kid's behavior. And I just say, Becky, compassion for my kid. They're having a hard time. They've never been to their great aunt's house. Compassion for myself. I'm managing gifts and travel and my kid sleeping in new places and me not sleeping well. Like, let's just start with compassion. Parenting around the holidays, parenting in public, parenting around extended family feels hard because it is hard. It really is stressful. So let's just do that first. Second, I would say before the holiday season, I think carve out truly, it could be 4 minutes. It could be when you're showering, okay, like of your time. Just say like, what guidelines and rules really matter to me during this time? And I really want to stick with. Not to impress others, not because other people do or do not keep them, just for myself. Mm-hmm. And what do I actually want to let go of, right? And that's really important because if not, we're kind of responding to these situations like willy-nilly versus, hey, I'm going to give my kid all the desserts they want on the family dinner. Like, I just don't care. Think about how many power struggles I could avoid by just saying, yep, sure, yep. Instead of, I think you're going to vomit, I did too much sugar or whatever we all say. Like, what if I literally told myself, I am just giving myself permission to say yes to all of it. Now, I'm not saying that's something you specifically should do, but there's such freedom in saying to ourselves, I give myself permission. And by the way, I trust myself as a parent to know I'll get back on track. One holiday season does not have to define me. And so I think, what do I want to stick with? And what do I give myself permission to let go of, to just make easier, to allow, right? And then the third thing I would say is we can avoid so many hard moments by previewing them with our kids, right? I always remember when my oldest, who's now, which is crazy, 13, was I don't know, 1.5, 2, and I put him in his stroller and he just looks at me. He was a kind of mild-mannered kid, but he looks at me and goes, where am I going? If that was my second kid, it just would have been this like massive tantrum without words, you know? But I think about that often as, oh my goodness, if I don't connect with my kid about what's happening in a day or a week, they have no idea. Like, they don't check my Google Calendar to be like, wait a second, it is about to be holiday time. When am I leaving? Am I flying or driving? Who are we seeing? Like, they have no idea.
Right.
And so often, a big reason for our kids' difficult behavior, we label something as not listening or being difficult, is actually our kid just being in the state of, where am I going? What is happening to me? I wish someone told me. And so a little bit of time of, hey, let's look at the calendar. Let me tell you what we're doing. Oh, we're going to your great aunt's house. Do you think for, you know, holiday dinner, she's going to give you the same chicken nuggets you're used to? Yeah, probably not. Ooh, what's that going to be like? To like see new food. Ooh, if you don't want something, what's the way you can say it? Like, I'm actually just previewing, practicing, right? I'm kind of doing like a mini dry run. And I know it's so easy as a parent to be like, I don't have time for this, but I promise you, we all spend way more minutes managing the meltdown and the embarrassment at the great aunt's house. So like, we're going to spend the time reacting or preparing. Either way, it's time. And I think those three things, just a ton of compassion, a little bit of a checking in of, what do I want to let go of and what really matters? And then can I connect with my kids about just a few things that are happening in advance? Are three relatively doable things that can make a really big difference.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It makes so much sense because if you think about us as adults, how we operate off of calendars and the idea that we would be able to take time to communicate, even if it's at breakfast. Like I noticed even, you know, kids are obviously so different in a family, but I noticed my oldest daughter likes to know what the plan is for the day or for the afternoon. Yes. And then my youngest one likes to know what she's doing tomorrow before she goes to sleep as like a game plan, which as somebody who lives on, like I thrive with having a plan or a calendar. I totally get that mentality. And also doing it around the holidays makes so much sense. And it really does. It's something that you can do at the table. You can do it in the car. Like I've been able to, you know, do it on the way to school in the car with my oldest daughter. So being able to do those things is such a huge gift. You mentioned this, you know, kind of idea of which I feel like so many parents are dealing with the phrase of like, oh, there are too many iPads or too many technology related items around. You've done this amazing collaboration with John Haidt. We've had him on before. I'm a huge fan of his work and your work. So the blending together is like goals. But can you talk a little bit about that partnership and where that came from?
Yeah. I think John and I initially connected in real life on Oprah. You know, I can say that now. Oprah.
Yeah.
Like the Oprah. Like I really mean it.
So
with
normal.
The utmost amazement and respect for, we had this live session with her about kind of, okay, what is the problem? And is there a solution, right? Because I think one of the things John has done, unlike anyone else, is he's highlighted the problem and motivated people's energy and awareness mm-hmm. and motivation in a way that I just don't know anyone else who's done that in such a compelling way. His research, his language, his way of framing things is just really connected to like the zeitgeist of like where we are right now. And I think this natural pairing happened where I think parents feel like, oh my goodness, this is a massive problem. You're right. Like this resonates. This so speaks to our experience. And I think for me, the space I love to live in is, okay, how do we move from panic and uncertainty and problem to hope and empowerment and solution? And I like to think about that with parents in like, I always say an absurdly practical way, because I think John's like, okay, here's the spotlight. And then he would say himself, like in terms of like in your house, exactly how to manage these moments. Because at the end of the day, parenting isn't about big themes. It's just about these collection of like moments that happen. He would say, that's definitely not my area of expertise. I would say my area of expertise is not in highlighting these, you know, these large problems in like a data-informed way. I'm not a social scientist like he is. My expertise is a little bit after that handoff. Okay, what can we do? What can we actually do? How do we have these conversations? What can I do when my kid is young to make the whole thing easier later on? What can I do when my kid is on the verge of getting a phone so I actually set a foundation for healthy dynamics? What can I do if we're in that, oh, shoot, already did that. Things are not going so well, not just because of the data, but I actually just know it in my bones, but I feel so helpless. Can I do anything incremental to make it better? Those three questions, how can I get ahead of it? What do I do if we're about to kind of give a phone and it's already all happened? How do I go back to make things feel a little better? Those are the three questions I feel like at Good Inside, we are really, really strong at answering. Not because there's one right thing to do that solves anything, but I do think there are processes that feel better. And this is why we're, you know, kind of an approach that has these principles. How do I connect? How do we have boundaries? How do I establish my job is not to keep you happy with me? My job is to, you know, maximize for what's going to happen down the road, all while staying connected so my kid doesn't rebel. And so I think John and I, between the Oprah, between our 92nd Street Y event, between so many other things, say, wow, there's the highlighting of the problem to motivate energy. But let's not just leave the energy around the problem. Let's convert that into actual concrete steps to make a real difference in our homes.
So you talk about this in your dialogue with Jonathan, but also on your social media, which mm-hmm. is as a parent, your job is not to keep your children happy, but to keep them safe.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because when it comes to the boundaries of technology in that framework, that's oftentimes a really challenging thing for parents of older kids, I've noticed, to wrap their head around, because the awareness is different this year and now and today than it has ever been before around yes. how much we've allowed as far as video games, iPads, mm-hmm. phones, technology, all of it. Yeah. So to backtrack, as a parent, if you're a parent of a 13-year-old like you are, or a parent of a 16-year-old, and or even, you know, younger kids, parents coming in with these boundaries, but also not wanting to upset their kids,
yeah.
and maybe new knowledge as parents, you feel guilty. There's a lot going on there.
Yes.
But this kind of reminding yourself of what your job is as a
yes.
parent is so important and so profound and also so challenging.
All of those things are so, so exactly right. Right. So a couple things. You use the word backtrack, which I think is it's something I hear from parents all the time. How can I backtrack? Or mm-hmm. I gave my 12-year-old a phone. I don't want to give my 9-year-old a phone, but that also feels like backtracking because I did give my 12-year-old one at 9 and now I know more, but right. I'm a lover of metaphors, as most people know, but I really am. I think it brings together so many things. So I just want to share this because I think to me, it so powerfully encapsulates the role we need to have in the reframe. So picture being on a plane, right? I always go back to pilot metaphors because it kind of brings up how our kids feel. The only time as an adult our kind of safety is really, truly, almost 100% in someone else's hands is actually when we're on a plane. Besides that, we can often like figure things out. And that is the closest metaphor for how a kid is, right? Because we are their pilot, right? As long as they're in our house. So imagine being a passenger on a plane and you're going from New York to LA. That's the flight. You see it on your, you know, your boarding pass, New York to LA. And I have to get to LA. Let's say it really is for something really important. It's a board meeting. It's a wedding. It's something really matters. And an hour into the flight, your pilot comes on and essentially shares with you that there's some lights, I don't know, that came on in the cockpit or some weather pattern ahead that like seems, you know, it's new news. They just figured out and it's like pretty bad. And essentially they're letting you know, we've got to make an emergency landing, or let's say to make the metaphor more concrete, we've got to go back to New York. We're just not gonna be able to get to LA. I just want to know how many of us as a passenger is like, you lied. You're backtracking. You said LA. My ticket said LA. And let's even say we were in that mindset, because sometimes just like our kids, as a passenger on a flight, you don't actually understand how serious something is. And imagine, you know, the pilot said, yeah, we're going to actually, sorry, we have to land right back in New York. We're not going to get to LA. And no, that's really annoying, right? And then all the passengers revolt. What? It can't be that big of a deal. You don't understand. We all have to get to this wedding. We all have this boarding meeting. Imagine the pilot saying, okay, you know what? You know what? You're right. I'm so sorry. That's like so annoying. You're right. Let's actually keep going. Can you actually imagine how terrified you would feel as a passenger that mm-hmm. you were able to convince the pilot to not make an emergency landing because of your protest? This is the thing I really do keep in mind when it comes to everything around our phones. We are never backtracking if we change our rules. We are always doing the same thing, just like a pilot. Our job is to make the best decisions we can with the information we have at the time. If information changes, on the surface, it might look like you're backtracking. But if you actually dig into it, you're doing the same thing you've always done. You're making the best decision with the information you have at the time. And your information changes, so maybe your decision changes, but your job of doing that is actually the same. Now, are your kids going to understand that? No, just like some passengers might protest. But I do believe deep down they get it. So for anyone listening who's like, I'm already in too deep, my biggest message for you is you're not. At any point, you could change the rules. Now, do I recommend doing that by taking your kid's phone without telling them and, you know, and throwing it out the window? No, the how we do it really matters. But you can say to your kid at any point, look, I have learned information that disturbs me, that makes me worried. This is not a matter of trust. I trust you. This is actually a matter of me doing my number one job in a way that actually feels right, which is not only preserving your safety, also just keeping your long-term development and interest in mind. And here's what that means. And you can start smaller to even build up your own muscle of confidence. Here's the first thing we're going to start with. There's absolutely no more keeping your phone in your room after 9 p.m., after 8 p.m., whatever. And I know you're used to charging it there. And I know there's reasons. You check something, use it as a calculator. You feel like your friends all text you later and you don't want to miss out. Those are all so real. And I'm actually willing to work with you about them. And starting tonight, your phone will be charging in whatever, in a box, in my closet. And I'm doing that not to punish you. I'm truly doing that to protect you. And protecting your sleep is part of protecting your mental health. And I feel, you know, really strong about that. I'm not going to change my mind. I love you. And we're going to figure this out together. That is one moment where you're kind of, quote, returning to base. Now, are you backtracking? I really want parents to say, like, with passion, no, that's not backtracking. Just like a pilot landing in an emergency landing. No one would ever say that pilot lied or is backtracking. That pilot is doing their job in a very difficult situation. And I just think that's so important for parents to keep in mind.
The other thing that I think is so great that you and John talk about is getting on the same page as other parents. So it's less of a
yes
jarring adjustment or rule or theme within a grade or a friend group or whatever. I've already noticed in just like preschool.
Yeah.
The parents, like some of the parent dynamics are very intense. I also have a 12-year-old stepson, so I have a little bit of like older parent group. And a lot of the parents, there's a lot of feedback. There's a lot of feelings and things that go on that you can get stuck in trying to manage and feel like you're managing almost like another herd of children. How is the subject of technology something to tackle with parents? I think younger kids are probably easier because you haven't necessarily had to do any of the, as you say, backtracking, but, you know, and kids aren't necessarily coming home and saying, I really need a cell phone in elementary school necessarily. But when they get a little bit older and that's a request and you want to be on the same page. And to me, of course, logically, that sounds like the dream, having all parents. And I just actually heard of a school here in LA that the whole sixth grade, all the parents came together and said, when they graduate, we're not giving phones, which I think is great. But how do you navigate that as the parent who might be the one to say, I'm going to take charge here and I want to do this in a productive way?
I love this question. And it's true. John and I think one of our points of coming together is this idea of collective action. I agree. You know, being the only one, being the only parent who does something a certain way, being the only kid who has a parent, that's so hard because you're fighting something that's really, really hard to fight. And so what's the solution is, okay, how can I band together with other parents? Yes, those early conversations matter. That's something I told John. I was like, I was John hiding this situation before you, not before you were John Hite, who's alive, but before this book came out because my kid who's 13, I did. I started meeting with those parents in that grade in first grade. And it wasn't like, and I think here's the key thing. And it's really not about, hey, parents, we should all do the same thing. Let's meet to do that. That feels like this very top-down conversation. Most parents don't want to be that parent who says that. Most parents don't want to receive that. Even if it doesn't come from a judgmental place, it feels that way. To me, the way in, whether you have a 6-year-old and you want to get ahead of things, or you have a 15-year-old and you're feeling like, ooh, I just don't like the way things are going. Mm-hmm. I think it's about starting a conversation with another parent in your community, just saying, hey, this topic's on my mind. And I just feel uneasy about things. And I don't know, sometimes I feel like if I feel like that, maybe other parents do too. And it's not about coming up with something right. And there's no morality here. The truth is, and Catherine, this is the truth, we've been put in like an impossible situation as parents without like actual legislation. Mm-hmm. We are being asked to be the ones to manage something that like no one has figured out how to manage well and is bad for our kids, but also provides a function that's very real for them in their lives. So given that messiness, I just would love to get a couple parents together and see, do any of us have similar concerns? Do any of us wish we didn't do things we've already done? Has anyone figured out any small things that make a difference? I don't know. Is there a way to just come together and just learn and connect and be honest and totally non-judgmental together? And I don't know exactly what the outcome would be, but I have a feeling it's going to be something good. I know if I'm a parent receiving that conversation, that just feels like an invitation. It feels like a hug, right? And so I think that's the way I know I've approached these conversations. And then interestingly enough, sometimes we do have something that we say, let's say it is the thing where you have a kid who's 16 who charges their phone in their room and you're thinking, there's actually a million things I want to change, but I hear that's really something I need to do. Wouldn't it be so cool if you had 5 other parents where your kids are like somewhat friends, where you're like, you know, your kid's like, oh, I have to put my phone away. And 5 of the kids on the text are like, oh, me too. You know? Oh, okay. Then all of a sudden, it's not only felt differently by the kid, your conviction doing it, you're going to have this little text group to, you know, say, okay, all right, anyone else about to do it? And you know, how'd it go? Okay, 10 out of 10. Oh, yours was a 0 out of 10. Okay, try it feels like now this movement, you know? And I just want to say to parents also that there are probably some parts of parenting that kind of come naturally, right? There are so many parts of parenting that do not come naturally. And I just want us to be able to hold that. You know, we've just been given this idea of instinct, like figuring out how to change the rules with your kid's phone. I just don't know many parents who are like, I just feel naturally like so equipped and amazing about the how of how to do it or how to give my kid a phone. And so that isn't something that comes naturally. This is something just like any area of life. Like we're like, oh, I want to have a garden. I'm gonna take a gardening course if I want to do that. It's like such an important time to say, where are resources? I know we have a lot of resources in our app. Other people might get them through their school or through a website, but there are so many resources out there to move from intention to action. And I just want parents to know, like, not only is there no shame, I hope parents take a lot of pride in like seeking out those resources so they can actually put these things into effect.
I think that's so helpful. And also, whether it's the holiday season or the new year, being able to get on the same page and also make that time and investment into not necessarily approaching a group as a whole, but really, it seems like you're suggesting to do you know, more meaningful, small conversations, direct parent to parent, and kind of tackling it that way, which I think is such a great tip. I'm so grateful for all of your time today, for all of your wisdom. I think this is going to be so helpful around the holiday season and just in life in general, because it's something that is just such a hot topic right now. And whether it's boundaries or being clear with your kids or managing technology, it's all such big feeling oriented topics. So thank you so much, Dr. Becky. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Always so good to talk with you.
Thank you so much to Dr. Becky for taking the time to chat with me, answer all of my personal parenting questions, as well as some of your parenting questions, and diving into the very hot topic of balancing technology with your children and how to navigate that as a parent in today's day and age. So thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Dr. Becky.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.